We'll spend some time in God's Word. If you wouldn't mind opening your Bibles to Psalm chapter 31. Do you ever feel insecure? Like you're not quite safe? Or maybe there's some uncertainty in your life. Maybe the next thing that's going to happen, you just have no idea and you're kind of worried about it. Yeah, we all have insecurities. A few years ago, when the Internet of Things was really getting going and we had all these people getting excited about having cameras in their house, there were some people that found that the camera that was monitoring their baby in their children's room they were hearing voices on that camera that weren't theirs, like strange men who seemed to be monitoring their babies, right? That's creepy. That feels very insecure, an invasion of your privacy in your home. And the reality is that we have all kinds of insecurities, whether we want to talk about them and think about them or not. Depending on where you live, water could come down out of the sky, form a flood, and a mudslide could take your house off its foundation.
You have no control.
You have no control over something like that. Or then there's the possibility that your car could, some important part could break on it without you having any plan for this, and then thousands of dollars later you'd have to fix this thing, right? There's all kinds of things that can happen. You could have a virus that comes around the world and you have no power to control it. You get sick and it threatens your safety, your health, and your freedom as well. This question of security is a really important question, and it's a core aspect of who we are as people. Who can we trust? What can we rely on? Is it our surroundings, the natural context of our lives, our homes, our nature and whatnot? Is it our nation? Can we trust in that? Maybe we can trust in our personal capabilities and our wisdom. You know, we're just the kind of people that can figure things out and do whatever we need to do. Or do we put our trust in God? This is like one of the fundamental questions in life. What can we trust in? What can we rely on? And if we put our trust in God, it is a fundamentally different life than if we put our trust in anything else. We're nearing the end of a series that we've been doing all month called Words from the Cross. And we've talked about several phrases that Jesus shared on the cross, but today we're going to finish that off, at least the time on the cross, with this phrase, "Into your hand I commit my spirit." And I'd like to explore that a little bit and get to know it, but I want you to also know tomorrow morning we're going to have a breakfast, and Lowell is going to finish our series off with Sunday morning, a message called Arise, and we're going to explore the final result of Jesus' sacrifice. But this phrase, I want to read it with you. It's Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And there's lots of things that Jesus said on the cross, but this is the last thing that he said. "Then Jesus called out with a loud voice, saying, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." When Jesus said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," everyone that heard him would have recognized that as a bedtime prayer. I don't know if you know this, but the Jewish women, the mothers, they would teach their kids bedtime prayers. Have you ever heard that English bedtime prayer that goes, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep"? Can you finish it? "If I die before I wake." Now, there's another version which I like better. I'm going to tell it to you. It says, "Watch and guard me through the night until you bring the morning light." I just like that one better. But that prayer, it comes to mind when you think of a bedtime prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Well, the Jewish moms would teach their kids a bedtime prayer too. And when people heard Jesus say that little phrase on the cross, that was a bedtime prayer. Let's go back to the psalm that the Jews took this prayer from, and let's explore it a little bit. It's Psalm chapter 31, and we're going to read the first four verses, and this is from the Contemporary English Bible. "I take refuge in you, Lord. Please never let me be put to shame. Rescue me by your righteousness. Listen closely to me. Deliver me quickly. Be a rock that protects me. Be a strong fortress that saves me. You are definitely my rock. and my fortress. Guide me and lead me for the sake of your good name. Get me out of this net that's been set for me, because you are my protective fortress. This prayer is confident. You are definitely my rock and my fortress. And yet it's also like needy. There's something in this prayer that says, I need you. Like he says, listen closely to me. There's some urgency in his heart. So both hopefulness and urgency. And this is the thing with trust, right? I trust you. I need you right now. Both of those things are realities. So then the psalmist, he makes this powerful, confident statement of faith in verse 5. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. That's from the English Standard Version. Let me read it from the Contemporary English Bible. I entrust my spirit into your hands. Now that word spirit, it means breath. I entrust my life into your hands is what he's saying. You, Lord, God of faithfulness, you have saved me. This is a confident position for somebody to be in when there's urgency in their heart. You have saved me. And notice the change in tone there. He commits his life to God, but is he saved yet? If you keep reading, you'll find that no, he's not yet saved. Verse 9, he says, have mercy on me, Lord, because I'm depressed. My vision fails because of my grief. He's been crying and he can't even see through his tears. Does that sound like somebody who's been saved? No, it sounds like somebody who's in the middle of a problem. He says, my life is consumed with sadness. My years are consumed with groaning. His life isn't not a happy life at the moment. And yet he says, you have saved me. This is not a man who's thinking of his present reality. He's thinking about his future, not how he feels, but trusting in the God who he's putting his life in his hands. He looks forward to God's salvation as though it's already happened. You have saved me. You have redeemed me. He goes on there in Psalm 31 to praise the Lord for his abundant goodness, for his steadfast love, for hearing his voice when he prays, and for preserving the faithful. And then he looks at you and me, at the readers of this psalm, and he says this in verse 24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all who wait for the Lord. Jewish mothers would sit beside their children's beds, and they would teach them to trust in God. Don't be afraid of the dark. Don't be afraid of the night. And they would say this phrase, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Watch and guard me through the night until you bring the morning light. When Jesus was on the cross, the priests were shouting insults and telling him that if he were really the Christ, then he should prove it by saving himself. And what they were asking him to do was the same thing that their people had done year after year, generation after generation. They were tempting him to try to save himself when that's what they had been doing all along, turning from God and trying to fix their problems themselves. Jesus faced that struggle. He had a real temptation. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, this is Luke 22, 42, Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but your will must be done. He faced that struggle, but then he confidently laid himself in God's hands. And he said, Father, you know what's going to happen. And then he took the next step. In fact, the very next thing to happen was that the priests came with their soldiers and they tied him up and they walked him out, and he did not defend himself. Why? Because he said, Father, I've given myself into your hands. This must be your next plan. Whatever came to him that night and that next day, he faced trusting in God. Somebody said, prophesy. Who hit you? Would that have helped him if he had prophesied? I don't know. But he didn't do it because he knew that's not God's plan. I'm trusting myself into the Father's hands. I'm going to let whatever happens to me happen because he's in charge and I trust him. And so one thing after the other, he finally ends up on the cross, and people had cried out, crucify him, and Pilate and the high priest and everybody seemed to be against him. And there was no truth in the sentences that were given, but he just took it like a lamb sent to the slaughter. And as Jesus experienced these feelings of abandonment by his disciples and the pain of bearing the depravity of humanity by faith, he rested in the Father. Christ won that victory. The I'm going to save myself temptation. He won that victory, and he trusted that God would accomplish it. In fact, just before his last words, Jesus confidently said, "He has done it." Or at least that's the last words of Psalm 22. And you can also translate those last words of Psalm 22 as, "It is finished." It's accomplished. He's done it. And it's the same attitude that that psalmist had in Psalm 31 when he said, "I am saved," even though he didn't see it at the moment. What he was doing is he was trusting himself into the hands of God. And so he did that. He lifted himself up, took a deep breath, said, "It is finished." And then he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And those were the last words that came out of his mouth, his last breath, and he didn't breathe another. What would have happened if Jesus hadn't trusted the Father? He could have come down off the cross and saved himself, couldn't he? But it would have been a short-lived victory. He would have been saved, but all of creation would have been lost. Isn't that the case for you and me? When we take our own problems into our own hands and we try to solve it ourselves, we sometimes have short-term victories, but almost always we get into trouble. We short-circuit God's purposes and plans, and ultimately we lose. Fortunately, because of Jesus' great sacrifice, because he entrusted everything to the Father, you and I get a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance, and praise the Lord, a 490th chance. We have a chance because Jesus gave everything to his Father. Have you told God today, with whatever insecurity and uncertainty that you have, "Into your hands I commit my life"? God can be trusted. He is absolutely trustworthy. He has never let his people down, and he won't let you down either. We can trust God. Will you say, "Into your hands I commit my spirit"?
Into your hands, I commit my spirit.
Yeah, amen. Will you stand with me? Let's sing an anthem. We're